Again, good morning, and it's fitting to still greet you, a very happy new year. It's been quite a while when I stood here in this pulpit, and I just thank the Lord for this wonderful privilege that He has given to me to be able to share His word to us, and I thank our pastor even for sharing this pulpit and allowing me to be able to share His word also. Thank you, brethren, for all your prayers for me during the time that me and my family were assigned and still are actually serving the church in Dagupan. So, ano lang po ito para sa amin, sort of vacation, but it's also a work time na rin, no? And an opportunity for us to be with you as a church. So, the year that we've been in Dagupan has been a work of grace, no, by our Lord, and it's been a privilege for us to be able to again go back to that church where I started in terms of my full-time service in Dagupan. And I thank you for all your prayers and support for that work. Praise God for how He had been raising men also to help me shepherd the church. And of course, as we are waiting for Pastor Tabs for his graduation, we continue to hold the fourth in the work there in the Dagupan. So thank you for just continually remembering us in prayer. And whatever way you could come and visit or encourage a church as well is very much welcome. So we know that every work of God, you know, is so difficult. You know, it involves His work. And in His grace and power, not in our own ability, not in our own strength. So all the work that we've been doing in terms of refocusing the people of God, in terms of the Word, in terms of rebuilding and establishment of the different areas, in administration, in finances, in ministry work, and of course, in terms of shepherding them spiritually, and where they are, and where they should be going, and where we should be going as a church, much like here in Baguio. So it's been quite a while, and we've been able to see the grace of God at work as well, in allowing the church to be realigned, to be focused, and to be established by the grace of God. So just want to say that as a way of introduction and acknowledgement as well for all that you're doing for us and for all the prayers you've been giving for that work and for me as well. The message I'd like to share with us, still related to the New Year's message given by our pastor last Sunday, and it's found in Lamentations. So if you have your Bibles with you, I've entitled this message, "In God's Faithfulness, We Trust." In God's faithfulness, we trust. And it's found in Lamentations chapter 3, quite familiar passage, actually. I'm sure that it rings a bell for us when we hear these verses, especially it's been written as a song in terms of the faithfulness of God. Before we read, kindly bow with me once again in prayer as we acknowledge the Lord to guide us and lead us in the preaching of His Word. Father, we thank You once again. We praise You for this awesome privilege, Lord, of sitting before You and coming before You, be able to listen to Your Word preached. We ask, O Lord, that only You would be glorified in all the things that You will be doing, Lord, You will accomplish in transforming our lives, in allowing our hearts to be focused on You, in Your great grace and faithfulness. So right now, Lord, we ask Your Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to be the one, Lord, to illumine our hearts and our minds, give us understanding, give us joy to be able to receive the things that You want us to receive, that we may also use them, Lord, in our daily lives. Glorify and honor Your name now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lamentations chapter 3, 21 to 24. "This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Praise God for his word. And I want to bring you to the context of this book, as we all are familiar with this book called Lamentations. Consists of five chapters or five laments. They're actually poems that were written as songs for in the context of funerals or dirge. They're called mourning songs or wailing songs. They were written by the prophet Jeremiah himself in the context of the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC and its aftermath. So Jeremiah had lived to be able to see his prophecy, his very own prophecy in the book of book of Jeremiah. Okay, as we would read Jeremiah, we would see there how Jeremiah had already prophesied concerning the destruction of Jerusalem and how the people of God are going to be enslaved and how the temple will be destroyed and its walls and its peoples will be taken captive into a foreign land in Babylon. And of course, the Lord had promised restoration for them, but it would take them around 70 years to experience the discipline, the chastening of God. So at this point, Jeremiah had lived to be able to see the devastation, the destruction of Jerusalem. And in this book, we see him mourning, we see him crying before God and seeing all the difficulties and the sufferings of the people of God, how their nobles and their royal families were humiliated, and how the rest of the people had been killed or massacred. It's nothing like the one that happened in Israel last year in October. Nothing like that. No, mas grabe pa po yung nangyari po sa kanila na pag-massacre. No, all their children, their women were raped, their sons were really beheaded or killed. No, and all the kind of horror that being described here by Jeremiah in his lamentation. So this chapter describes before us in a chaotic way, as an author, Thomas Constable, observes. You know, it points us first in chapter 1, the misery of the citizens, and then in chapter 2, looks to the punishment that's due them, God punishing them, actually. God was the one orchestrating everything, and he's the one behind all of these because of their sins, because of their disobedience, because of their idolatry, because of their continually turning their backs and their hearts from God. And in chapter 3, we find Jeremiah's reaction and the hope of God's faithfulness, which is the central message of this book. Okay, and it contains from the others, from the rest of the chapters, it has 66 lines, I believe, or 66 verses that declare to us, three lines each from the three lines of each, you know, representing in acrostic all the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, so it's a very well-composed poem, and it's a very well-composed song that's supposed to be sung, you know, it's being sung by the Israelites in commemoration of that event and the opportunity for them to recognize the faithfulness and the mercy of God. But of course, at this point, we see Jeremiah, okay, in his agony, in the depth of his sorrow before God, that everything seemed to have fallen, everything seemed to be in chaos and misery. And still, he looks to God. Still, he finds the faithfulness of God shining in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the suffering of God's people. And so, the continuing severity of God's judgment upon them in chapter 4. And then, of course, he closes the book, okay, with the hope, with the ray of hope, expecting God. You know, and of course, still in the form of poem, in response, you know, to God's deliverance one day. Okay, so still, no, nandun pa rin po yung kanyang pagtangis, nandun pa rin po yung kanyang pagkilala dun so sa judgment ng Panginoon. So ito po yung judgment, chastisement ng Panginoon, the divine judgment and the discipline that's brought about before God's people. Hopefully, no, dito po sa example po ni Jeremiah, it led him to prayer, it led him to humility, it led him to hope and renewal in terms of commitment to God's steadfast love and faithfulness. When all else fails, brethren, we can only look to God in His love and faithfulness toward us. And when all else fails, kung wala ka nang makita, wala ka nang maaninag anumang bagay, okay, the only way we can look to, where we can look to, is to God Himself, His unfailing love and faithfulness. So kahit na po napakahirap po itong context po ng Lamentations, kung isipin po natin, some people even actually avoid it. Okay, napaka-sad naman, napakahirap, no? Kung babasahin po natin every detail there, where there's famine, when there is horror and massacre and all of these things, unprecedented, no, throughout the history of the people of God, no? Kasi buong bansa po ito, talagang kulang na lang po talagang mawala na sila, okay, bilang isang bansa. And yet, naroon pa rin po ang Panginoon, nakasama po nila. As we begin this year somehow, and we recognize, no, lahat po ng mga pangyayari po sa paligid po natin, sana po ang lalo pang maging matibay, no, na makita po natin, kagaya po ni Jeremiah. The great revelation of this book, Lamentations, is the steadfast love and faithfulness of God in spite of the unfaithfulness of His people. Sana po sa ating po mga sarili, as we allow the Lord to examine us in the past year, how we've conducted ourselves, how we've been in terms of our walk with God. Kaya kahit na po anumang nangyayari sa ating pong paligid, kung secure po tayo sa Panginoon, sa ating sarili, kung patuloy po na ating pong pananalig ay sa Diyos, kung patuloy po na ating pagtingin ay sa Kanya pong katapatan, pagmamahal po sa atin, hindi ho tayo matitinag. And then the past year, of course, no, had shown us, no, all of these difficulties and insurmountable difficulties. Hindi pa po tapos. Ito po mga pangyayari pong na to. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be difficulties ahead of us. Pinapangunahan ko na po kayo. But all of these things, brethren, must point us back to our God. Back to God in His love and faithfulness toward us. At kahit na po sa gitna ng ating pong pagiging unfaithful sa Panginoon, remember His promise that though at times He would be unfaithful to God, He remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself. At sana po yun din ang maging result po natin ngayong taon na ito. Not only that God is faithful to us, that we would resolve also to be faithful to Him, that we would resolve as well to be brought down on our knees before Him in acknowledgement of His sovereignty, in acknowledgement of His grace, in acknowledgement of all that He is to us as His beloved people. As His beloved people. Wala na po tayong pakialam doon sa mga wala pong pagkilala at pananalig sa Panginoon. Sila po, of course, we pray for them, we pray for their salvation. But somehow, the work of God and the mercy of God upon us as His children continues. It continues until our last breath, until the time the Lord returns, until the time when God will somehow establish His kingdom here on earth. But we know the reality of sin. We know the reality of our own unfaithfulness and disobedience. Sin and apostasy not only result in inevitable discipline for us, but we know how it causes great sorrow and pain in the heart of God. So sana po makita po natin ang epekto po ng ating pagkakasala. Hindi lamang po dahil po sa mga konsekwensya na ating pong daranasin, hindi lamang po dahil alam po natin kung anak po tayo ng Panginoon, didisiplinahin po niya tayo. But we look at sin in different light in terms of how it causes great sorrow and pain in the heart of our God Himself. And He does not enjoy punishing His people, of course, for their unfaithfulness. Yun po isang bagay din po na makikita po natin all throughout this book. Can He allow these people to experience all of these difficulties and yet, meron pa rin pong bahagi ng kanyang puso na para sa kanila. Meron pa rin pong bahagi ng kanyang puso that looks out for them and cares for them and wants to bring them back and wants to restore them and wants to allow them to once again be renewed in Him. Be renewed in Him. And we need to ask ourselves this question, how does God feel when His people wander away from Him? How does God feel when I turn my back on Him? When I squander the blessings that He has entrusted to me? The things that He has allowed me to experience and receive in the past years? And even maybe forget to acknowledge Him, to thank Him, or get myself into trouble because of my sinfulness, because of my wrongdoing, because of my wrong decision, because of disobedience to His word, to His precepts. And this is something we need to grapple with all throughout our Christian life. Okay, we're not done with sin yet. And as the year goes, or as years are added to us, we know that the coming of the Lord is drawing near. And our time is getting lesser and lesser in terms of the opportunities, in terms of the obligations and responsibilities that the Lord has called us to be and to do as His people. So habang nadadagdagan po ang mga panahon, umiiksi naman po yung pagkakataon para sa atin. At sana magamit pa po natin ng buo ng ganap, anong pa mang natitira sa atin. Bago dumating ang Panginoon o bago pa man po tayo kunin ng Panginoon mula po sa buhay po na ito, that we could say from our hearts that we were careful, we were able to utilize everything for the glory and live our lives for the glory of God. Now, how do we recognize the faithfulness of God according to Jeremiah here in this book? How do we recognize in the light of all the difficulties in the grim and in the dark time, such as His time? Okay, paano pa rin po natin ma-recognize ang faithfulness ng Panginoon? There are four things I'd like to share with us this morning. Four areas where we can fully recognize the faithfulness of God, which would remind us, and we could go back again and again, so that when all else fails, when everything seems to be failing sa buhay po natin, we can go back to these and be encouraged by the faithfulness of our God. Number one is to recall God's covenant. It is to recall God's covenant. Jeremiah says in verse 21, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." Now we can go back to the verses before this. Tingnan nyo lang po no, yung Lamentations. Makikita po natin kung paano po niya dinescribe yung kanya pong damdamin. How he is describing how he felt before God. As if God had really deprived him of a lot of things in life. And God was really against him. And it seems like the hand of God was so personal to him. Parang napaka-personal na po no, para sa kanya. Hindi lamang po ang bansang Israel ang dinidisiplina ng Panginoon. Nakikita po niya kung papaano rin po sa kanyang sarili ay galit, parang galit na galit ang Panginoon. Okay, go back to Lamentations and you would find in verses 18, for example, the chapter 3 pa rin po, kaya't makikita po natin itong pag-describe po niya na kanya pong sitwasyon. Okay, it says here, "He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust." Okay, grabe po. Verse 18, "So I say, my strength has perished and my hope, so has my hope from the Lord." Okay, this is the first time that he mentions the Lord. Okay, but from the verses before this, talagang dinidescribe lang po niya ano yung nangyayari sa kanya, ano yung mga pain and agony na kanya pong nararanasan, the lament that he was expressing before the Lord. You know, he's pouring out his heart. He was pouring out all the pain and the agony that he was experiencing, both as he sees all the devastation and the difficulties of the people of God in Jerusalem and the fall of the nation. And for him, of course, as a prophet, that's how he lived, to be able to see his own prophecies fulfilled before his very eyes. How he had lived to be able to see how these people, even though so many times he had warned them, he had told them to repent, he had told them to come to God in repentance, and yet they turned their back on him. And he said in verse 19, remember my affliction and my wandering. So he calls unto God now to recall. He calls unto God, but for him as well, he was reminding himself. And here's the point, brethren. He reminds himself that certainly God remembers his covenant and renews his compassion. Therefore, he has a firm basis for renewed hope in the faithfulness of God. Hindi lamang po niya sinasabihan ng Panginoon na alalahanin siya o alalahanin ang kanyang bayan, kanya rin pong pinapaalala na kailangan alalahanin din niya ang katapatan ng Panginoon. Remember how the people of God were brought from the land of Egypt and God guided them through the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day, and how he had sustained them in the wilderness for 40 years, how God provided for them and fed them and led them, and God protected them from their enemies. And at that point, as they were entering the promised land, okay, many of them turned their back on God. They were idolatrous. The incident of the golden calf, remember? God was about to destroy all the people. And God said, Moses, okay, stand by or stay aside. I'm going to destroy these people and start anew with you. But what did Moses do? He interceded before God and asked God, Lord, what would happen to your great name? Lord, these people represent you, and these people, Lord, are called by your name, and they are yours. They are your people. You cannot separate them from who you are because you have loved them. You have promised that you will guide them. You have promised you will lead them. Now, of course, part of the dealing of God will be his dealings, his chastisement, his discipline, his judgment. Okay, remember Deuteronomy. There were promises of blessing and there were promises of curses. When they obey, God will bless them. God will protect them. God will allow them to enjoy all the blessings of the land. But when they disobey, God is going to send them plague and misery and chastening and difficulties. And then later on, Moses had personally asked the Lord to show him his glory. And God told him, you will not see me, you will see my face, but I'll go and hide, you know, from the rock, and you will see my back. And then in Exodus chapter 34, you would find there the song of Moses and how he declared, the Lord, he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. We see there a revelation of the character of God, brethren, in terms of how he had covenanted already with his people, and he cannot destroy them totally because he had covenanted with them. And as he recalls these things to mind, he was able to remind himself, to tell himself, hope, brethren, shines as a despairing soul bows in humiliation. And then as he comes to the Lord, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. As he recalls those things, as he counts on God to be able to bring back his people, to be able to restore his people, to be able to accomplish His holy will in disciplining them, in cleansing them, hope was brought anew to him. Hope shines as his despairing soul bows in humiliation, appeals for mercy, and prays to God for forgiveness and deliverance. That's the way, brethren, we can secure hope. We can come to God in hope, in recognizing that he is the one who had called us to himself. He had given us his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Christ Jesus is he who died and was raised again on our behalf. Who can separate us? What shall separate us from the love of God? And then he names all of these things. And then he said, nothing. For I'm convinced that nothing be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we understand this much, brethren, from the context of the cross, from the context of the redemption that the Lord has accomplished for us. We can understand this because we know that God himself is the one who had guided us all throughout our lives and saved us from our sins. So as we come to the Lord, brethren, our hope is kindled, our hope shines, and begin to recognize now the great faithfulness of our God. Second, brethren, not only that we recall God's covenant, we reflect on God's undeserved preservation. God's undeserved preservation. He said in verse 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Some of us might be holding a different translation that says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Okay, now, it's still the same, brethren, in terms of how they pointed to its context. Because in a positive way, Jeremiah somehow looks to the faithfulness of God. And so, the loving kindness of God never ends, never ceases. And that's why he said, because his compassions fail not. But on the other side, in a negative way, looking at it from the perspective of the people, how they should have been destroyed. How everything would have been for them. They're done as far as God is concerned. Tapos na sila. No? Pero dito pa rin po natin makikita ang kabutihan ng Panginoon, ang katapatan ng Panginoon sa kanila by giving them their undeserved preservation. Because of the Lord's mercies, they are not consumed. Jeremiah can see the hand of God's mercy, brethren. When you define mercy, we get to realize God had withheld something that is due us. We should have been punished. We should have been destroyed. We should have been thrown into hell. And yet God spared our lives. The one that we truly deserve, God had withheld. God withheld judgment in a sense that he did not utterly consume us. Just like these people themselves, they were not utterly consumed. They were not utterly destroyed. Had it been for the mercy of God, they would have been extinguished. They would have disappeared from the face of the earth. Had not God been merciful to them. And quite a reminder for all of us, when we consider the things that God had allowed us to experience in our lives, how the Lord had allowed us to be spared from harm and danger in the past, how the Lord had led us and allowed us to be able to experience his deliverance. And we know and we've seen the working of God for us. We know and how we have been disobedient to him, and yet, okay, in the midst of that, the Lord still brought us to be able to recognize and come to him in repentance and faith. Yes, it is the mercy of God that had allowed us to live until now. It is the mercy of God, brethren, that we can still be doing what we are doing. that He has given to us, the things that we are experiencing as far as our relationship with Him is concerned. Ang ating Panginoon ay mahabagin. Ang ating Panginoon ay puno ng awa, mga kapatid. And then He leads us to the related term, which is the word compassion, which is literally in the Hebrew, womb. Okay, it signifies a warm, tender compassion of a mother. We know pregnant women who care for their baby in their wombs for several months, and at least 7 to 9 months at least. Yung ganung period po, and how they care and nurture the child and envelop the child, being enveloped in their womb, and how tender the compassion of a mother towards the child when he or she is born into this world and takes care of him or her with tenderness and compassion. Yun po ang compassion na pinapakita po dito, mga kapatid. Kung paano po ang isang ina, hindi ho niya nakakalimutan ng kanyang anak. Of course, a true mother who understands the natural affection that was given to her by the Lord to be able to care for her baby in the womb. And it brings us to this, brethren, which goes to a compassion that goes a second mile. Okay, ready to forgive sin and replace judgment with grace. You see, as you go back to the history of Israel, time and again, they would find them being disobedient to God, and then they would come and recognize their sin, and they would cry out to God, and God would hear them, and God would restore them, and God would be the one to pour upon them His mercy and His grace and forgiveness. And of course, until the time that we know that the final blow, the devastation that they had to experience had to happen. It had to happen. But finally, God had to bring them this judgment. And yet, brethren, this kind of compassion as well, it's not just a tender compassion, it is also a tough compassion. Hindi po ito tinatanggal, hindi po ito lingid dun po sa definition po ng author na Jeremiah. He knew the tenderness and the toughness of that compassion that is also ready to chastise and discipline, not just like a mother caring, but as a father disciplining rather than punishing in anger. In Psalm 103, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. You can go back to Psalm 103 and you can read there the steadfast love of God. You can read there how God has been compassionate and gracious. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed transgressions from them. Hebrews chapter 12, we would find, as a father disciplines his own children, so the Lord disciplines those He loves, those He has compassion for, His very own children. And He cannot deny Himself in the sense that He is holy and He is righteous and He is a God who punishes sin and evil, and yet He does it in tenderness and toughness, and toughness of compassion. And we can find and see here the heart of our God, brethren. Every time we sin, every time we grumble before Him, every time we turn our back on Him, He will never leave us nor forsake us. And He is the one who calls us back to Him and allows us to turn to Him time and again, giving us that opportunity to be strengthened, to be renewed in Him. And such is the mercy of our God for us, brethren. Such is the mercy of God, something that we do not deserve. C.H. Spurgeon observes it this way, and he wrote, "See where Jeremiah gets his comfort. He seems to say, bad as my case is, it might have been worse. For I might have been consumed, and I should have been consumed if the Lord's compassions had failed. I would have been consumed. The Lord deals with me. It would have been worse. He has dealt with me, not according to what my sins deserve, but has dealt with me according to His tender and tough compassion. And He has never failed in doing that. His compassions never fail. His compassions never fail. And here, brethren, brings us to the third. Not only that we, brethren, recall God's covenant, not only that we are given the opportunity to remember or to reflect on God's preservation for us in His mercy and compassion. But thirdly, we are given the opportunity to receive God's fresh supplies of blessings. In verse 23, He said and declared, "They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." The tender, tough mercy and compassion of God and the supplies of the other blessings that proceeds forth from the hand of God. It says here, they are new. They are new. They are fresh for us. Every morning, great is Your faithfulness. And yes, brethren, not only that God help us be able to recognize His covenanting for us, how He had promised to save us, how He had promised to lead us through all throughout our life and whatever situation, that our God deals with us with undeserved mercy and compassion. No matter how bad the past day was, God's people can look to the new morning with faith and hope. They are new. New every morning. Yan po ang kanyang kapahayagan, mga kapatid, pagdating po sa kabutihan ng Diyos at sa katapatan ng Diyos. These mercies are new, are always new. Why? Because they come from God. They come from God Himself. God, who is the most infinite being of all. God, being the most wonderful God that we have. Amazing that He is. He is indescribable in all His ways. He is endless in His resources, boundless, brethren, in terms of His dealings with us. Not only that He has all the resources, He also has the power to bestow those things upon His own children whom He loves. Not only that He owns all things, He has the power to bestow those things and give those things according to His lavish grace. So the word new does not mean something that never existed before, but new means rather fresh. Fresh renewal of what has been experienced before. They are fresh. They're as fresh as the morning manna in the wilderness. They're as fresh as the Word of God being given to our hearts, speaking to our very souls in a dry and weary land where there is no water. The presence of God for us come fresh every day. The help that comes from God, the strength that comes from God for each and every need is fresh and new, brethren. And it never ends. It never ends. And we are invited to come and receive. We are invited to come and replenish that from His hand. We are invited to be able to be renewed in Him. Day after day after day. So as you look at this year, brethren, you begin to understand and begin to see each day with a new light, understanding that each day, each present day, there is fresh blessing of God for you. Each present day is a gift from God, and that's why we call it present. when we give gifts, we call them, we give presents. But on the other side, brethren, each and every day, present day, we understand that there are gifts coming from the hand of our God. There is renewal. Our treasures, again, I cannot help, brethren, but quote Spurgeon, how so verbose in words. I cannot describe it better than he. So he says, our treasures, which we lay up on earth, are the stagnant pools. Whatever you find, brethren, here in this world, whatever things that you might think could secure you, the treasures in this life, the resources that you think you can find your hope and security from, they're all stagnant pools. As far as God is concerned, they are cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. And we can only come to God as the fountain of living water, as a fountain whom we can draw upon for fresh water, sweet water from His hand. The treasure which God gives us from heaven is providence. In providence and in grace is the crystal fount which wells up from the eternal deeps and is always fresh. It's always fresh and it's always new. It's always fresh and it's always new. When you look at each morning, brethren, it's the end of another day. When you look at this morning, we find this is the new day, new opportunity. You wake up and say, thank you, Lord, you've given me another day. You could have allowed me to die in my sleep, but you've allowed me to wake up. Thank you, Lord, that I can stand up from my feet. Thank you, Lord, that I can do specific things that I can do. Go to the toilet, eat my food, go to where I want to go. Or even, Lord, giving me the eyes to see, or giving me hands to be able to handle certain things. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings and opportunities that come my way. Every morning, brethren, in terms of the provision of God, in terms of how the Lord forgives us of the many sins we have committed against Him, in word, in action, in thought, all those sins that we have done against Him merit His discipline and chastening. And yet, God deals with us with undeserved mercy. And of course, together with that is the grace of our God. He pours upon us anew every morning with new strength, new responsibilities, new hope, and new time, a new day to glorify His name. And all this allowed Jeremiah to consider the great faithfulness of our God. Why? Because God never ends, He never fails in sending His compassion for them. And this kind of faithfulness expresses a characteristic of God. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. As the Bible describes to us, if you do a study on the word faithfulness, you would be amazed, brethren, how wonderful this word is in terms of the character of God being revealed to us. And even in our pain and suffering, God is faithful. He is faithful and just, even to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to establish us and to carry us through the storms of our lives. He is faithful and He is constant, He is stable and truthful and permanent beyond the shadow of doubt, brethren. And so there are times when we find ourselves doubting God, when there are times when we find ourselves complaining, we need to look upon the faithfulness of God and receive from His hand fresh mercies, fresh dealings, at least for us to recognize His faithfulness. And one author, Ryken, puts it this way, the prophet addressed Him personally and directly. Okay, you see the turn of His tone, brethren. We find Him expressing before the Lord now, great is Your faithfulness to me, O God. So in the process of remembering God's attributes, Jeremiah now, is drawn back into the living fellowship and intimate communion with his faithful God. He recognizes all of these things that God gives, that God provides for him. Not only has given all those precious promises to take hope, to take hold of, not only that God preserves him and protects him and is dealt with him undeservedly. God gives his things from his hand daily and fresh, and allows him to commune with his living God in faithful or in an intimate way. And it brings us to the last point, brethren. We are to revere God as our sufficiency and satisfaction. We're not only led, brethren, to consider or recognize the covenant of God. We're not only led to be able to reflect on the undeserved preservation of God and his mercy and compassion, in how he allows us to receive from his hand fresh supplies of blessings, but he calls us to revere him. He calls us to revere him as our God and sufficiency and satisfaction. He says here in verse 24 there, "The Lord is my portion, and therefore I hope in him." You see, the progression, brethren, from the time in verses 1 all the way to verse 18 or 19, brethren, his perspective was so dim. He was looking at the situation, he was looking at the devastation, he was looking at all the things that had failed in his life, in the lives of the people of God. And then eventually, the turn of events and the turn of perspective, okay, allows him to remember, to recall the covenant of God, allowing him to recognize, wow, Lord, you have been dealing with us with tender mercy and compassion. Lord, you have poured fresh mercies to us every day. And here now, brethren, he completes the truth of God's faithfulness in seeing God himself. It is in seeing God himself as the Lord his portion, as the Lord his inheritance and true blessing of all. Therefore, I hope in him, he said. And these are words of a satisfied soul. These are words that have been dealt with by God. And somehow his life and his perspective has been changed. His heart has been transformed from agony and despair and complaining and doubting and whatever he might have felt during those times of crying and lamentations before the Lord our God. From the death, brethren, he was able to make it, and he went up and be able to breathe afresh. I'm picturing someone who has dived into the water, and from his lungs he's gone down deeper and deeper, and somehow almost that his lungs would explode. But then he cannot just go up right away and quickly go up. I'm some of you might have experienced diving, and you cannot just go up immediately, vertically. You will die because of how your lungs will explode in terms of being able to receive all those oxygen from outside of the water. But you have to go slowly. You have to go in circle. You have to go up and up and up until you're given the opportunity to breathe normally again back into the water. And I see how Jeremiah, in all his experience, how the depth of his misery and agony and lament before God, somehow God turned it slowly, and how God had dealt with him gently. And this is the work of God. Jeremiah had no other place but of satisfaction. So he was settled with his portion, the portion he received, which is the Lord himself. It is the Lord Himself. So he focuses on the goodness of having God for a refuge. Simply stated, brethren, God is enough. God is enough to satisfy. When things around you grow dim, when things somehow seems failing, your body seems weak, and every resource of yours have ended or are gone, you begin to recognize all of these areas. Brethren, I see, finally, God as your refuge. God is enough to satisfy. And nothing could replace Him. Nothing could take His place in our lives. I don't want to end in that, brethren, because although I just gave you until verse 24, I want you to see how things had settled in his heart. And the evidence of the trust in his heart, brethren, finally, as he was settled before the Lord as his portion, he then acknowledges, he said in verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him and to the soul who seeks him. You see now the goodness of God. Much like the prophet or the writer Asaph, remember Psalm 73, the exhortation of worship leader, Brother Bicoy, last week. Okay, he almost stumbled as he saw the prosperity of the wicked and all of those things that he was distracted with and envying and all of those things that were coming into his mind and were agonizing him because he cannot reconcile how the wicked are prospering and how a righteous man experiences all of these difficulties and troubles until finally he went into the sanctuary of God and he recognizes. And that's why he said, the Lord is good. I have no good besides you, Lord. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He ended, or this brings us to this settlement, brethren. He acknowledges the goodness of God. God is good. And secondly, God does good. And so it is also good that we, or he, should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The dealing of God comes to those who wait. The dealings of God comes to those who linger in His presence and wait upon Him until they receive it from His hand, until God allows them to be quiet in their souls, until God allows them to receive and know that He is God. Okay, remember Psalm 46 as well. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, although the earth be moved and be cast into the midst of the sea, he would continue to praise God as his refuge. And then he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted among the nations. Be still in the presence of God. Know and trust and affirm his faithfulness in your life. Be encouraged that this same God, the God of Jeremiah, the God of the prophets, of Moses, of David, of all the people that he covenanted with, and we as his people now, as his church, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, have found our refuge in him from the storm of judgment and death. We have found refuge in him, knowing that he will lead us through life until the coming of the day of the Lord, until he brings us home to be with him in glory. So in summary, brethren, God's faithfulness is shown. We can recognize it when we recall his covenant toward us. And that's why he said, therefore, I have hope. He continues to hope in God as he continues to recall the covenant of God. because He is faithful. Secondly, He reflects on His undeserved preservation, and that's mercy, brethren. That's compassion, brethren. There is no end, and that never fails. And thirdly, He receives fresh supplies of those blessings as a form of grace. Grace upon grace as God leads us from glory to glory. And these are continuing, brethren, in our lives. As we conduct ourselves in a relationship with Him, we revere Him as God. We revere Him as the only one who is the all-sufficient, who is the all-satisfying God. And we love Him back. We love Him because He first loved us. We take Him in as our treasure because He treasures us. We take Him in as our portion because He looks upon us as His very own possession, a people belonging to God, as His very own inheritance. And He will not forsake His very own. He will remain faithful. So, brethren, I end with this. Whatever we might face this year, God turns our despair into hope as we trust in His unchanging faithfulness. Pagdugduin po natin yung message last week. Ito pong message po ngayon sa ating pong pagpapatuloy na ating pong lakad sa ating Panginoon. At nawa, gabayan tayo, tulungan tayo ng Panginoon at mamuhay po ayon sa Kanyang patuloy at hindi nagmamaliw na katapatan. Let us come to the Lord now and find a partner, a prayer partner, and someone you can share with. Okay, whatever the Lord may have dealt with you in your heart through this message. Okay, kindly give time for your partner. Don't monopolize the sharing. Okay, give time and opportunity for your partner to be able to share his heart or her heart, his insight into the message of the Lord for us today. So take time, brethren, to be able to do that. Take time, brethren, to share what your gleanings are from this message. Before we close in prayer. Please allow time for your partner. Please allow time for your partner to also share. You can begin praying as soon as you're able to share with your partner. You can begin praying now with your partner. Pray for each other. Ask the Lord's blessing for that person. Can we now go back to your seats after praying? And can we all stand up right now? Before I close in prayer, let's acknowledge the Lord and worship Him through this song by our worship team. Thank you, Po.
Is overwhelming, and the brightest lights go dim. Though the word of God is trampled on by a foolish man, though the wicked never stumble and abound in every place, we will all be humbled when we see. We've been fighting, those without and those within, will be underneath our feet to never rise again. All our sins will be behind us, through the blood of Christ to erase, and we'll taste your kindness when we see.
We long for that time when we will finally, Lord, meet you in glory. With the time you've given to us here on earth, we are still grateful, O Lord, for every expression of your love and goodness and faithfulness toward us. We continue, Lord, to recount all of those things. We continue, Lord, to live in the light of your word, Lord, in the light of your faithfulness, that we will be kept. We will be guided. We will be strong, Lord. We will continue, Father, to be guided by you, Lord, by your hand. And you are with us in our journey, Lord, no matter how long, no matter how hard, no matter, Lord, what trials may come our way, whatever we might face, oh God, we know that you are continually with us. You help us. You'll be our guide. You'll be our joy. You will be our sufficiency in all things. And finally, Lord, you could say, Lord, that we have you, Lord. We have you as our all in all. Thank you, Lord God, for everything that you've shown us through your word today. We trust that you'll be the one, Lord God, to burn this message in our hearts. Fulfill, Lord, all your holy purposes and the things, Lord, that you had revealed today, Lord, in our hearts. Remind us of these things whenever, Lord, we face difficulties in this life. Remind us, Lord, that you are there always with us. Thank you, O Lord. Continue, Lord, your work in each one's life. Continue, Lord, to transform us into your image and likeness. Help us also to be faithful to you, just as how you've been faithful to us. And lead us, Lord, and help us to honor you and to glorify you, Lord, for every day and every moment in our lives. Thank you, O Lord. We entrust our church. We entrust every heart that's here. We thank you, Lord, even for our pastor. We thank you for our elders. We thank you for everyone a part of this work, Lord, for all your people who allow you allow, Lord, to be part, Lord God, of the things that you're going to do once again in and through our midst this year. We consecrate our hearts, entrust our hearts and our lives to you, Father. Thank you also, God, for the privilege of giving to you our tithes and offerings. You've been good, Lord, in providing every need represented in this church. And you know, Father God, how, Lord, you know, Lord, in your very own timing, in your own way, Father God, how to provide for every need in every area, Lord God, of your church, O Lord. Salamat, Panginoon, sa bawat puso, sa patuloy na pagbibigay, sa patuloy na pagkilos po ninyo, Lord, in providing, Lord, and helping us give back to you as well, Father. Thank you. We praise your name, Lord. Use these, Lord, to be able to expand your work, to be able, Lord God, to allow us continually experience the things you are allowing us to experience, Father. Be glorified. I pray your blessing upon everyone, Lord, for your praise and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you po. Batayan po tayo sa bawat isa sa pagmamahal ng Panginoon.